You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In the midst of the Ukrainian invasion of Ukraine, Russia has signed a decree requiring several G7 countries to pay for Russian fuel supplies via rubles. Multiple countries have declined this decree despite their reliance on Russian fuel, with Germany especially calling the move blackmail. Putin is now threatening to halt all fuel supplies to Germany, with more supplies from Russia, such as other forms of food and fuel, being threatened as well. To learn more, I spoke to University of Otago's James Hurdley about what's going on, first asking him why Europe was so reliant on Russia's fuel supplies.
To a kind of alarming degree, I'd say. I think about 40% of EU gas supplies that currently come from Russia. Now, it is a bit varied between countries. So there's certain countries, I think Balkans countries, for example, Bulgaria is about 90%. Greece, I know, because I used to quite often visit Greece, and I was there one time where there was a gas supply crisis about Ukraine, and they cut off supplies. So there's a lot of demand from there. But the big one, of course, is Germany, where I think it's about 50% of its gas supplies come from Russia. So, and given the size of the German economy and demand and so on, that's actually very significant.
Why does the Kremlin want their fuel to be paid for in rubles?
In the past, perhaps they might actually have wanted it in kind of foreign currency to build up their reserves. But what's happened because of the sanctions is that the ruble collapsed quite dramatically after the invasion of Ukraine. And that means that apart from the difficulties of kind of converting it, it means that if it's paid in euros or dollars, then they then have to kind of buy those, which kind of lowers the value of the ruble. So the idea is that if Western countries pay in rubles, it increases the demand for rubles, and then that raises the price for rubles. So that's the sort of economic side of it. I think also politically, by doing this, it kind of almost locks it in and makes it more difficult for Western countries to kind of almost suspend payments, and also makes it easier for Russia to actually get those payments. Now, I said that about the ruble. It's a bit surprising, actually. It has kind of risen again, the value.
So within the past few days, we've seen the ongoing battle of Germany and other European countries refusing Russia's recent decree for payment via ruble, causing threats from Putin to cut their supplies. How would Germany be affected by having the Russian fuel supplies halted? And is it likely that we'll actually see this go through?
I mean, it's unlikely, I think, because it's kind of in all sides' interest. And it is amazing the way these things continue to happen even during the war, even during wars and during the Cold War, even at the height of tensions. Western countries are still importing Soviet oil and gas. So it's unlikely, and that's because it's in Russia's interest to keep exporting. It is its main export, and particularly to Western countries, and it would be quite hard in the short or even medium term to kind of switch that towards China, for example, if that demand is there. So they're reliant on it economically and also, of course, to kind of prop up the war campaign. That's the problem from the Western side there. And this is why people are calling for kind of stronger sanctions on oil and gas, because this money then feeds into the war effort. But in answering that question, I mean, that reliance on particularly gas in the case of Germany means that it would have very significant impact on the German economy. Now, they have got emergency plans in place, and this applies to Austria as well, which they brought in a few years ago, envisaging some potential crisis, which they've kind of not reached yet, but it might ultimately actually mean rationing.
What strategies do you think that Germany and other countries could put in place just in case to mitigate their reliance on Russia's oil supply, gas supply?
Yeah, I mean, it's that sort of short-term even needing to do some sort of rationing. One of the criticisms is that they didn't move quickly enough in getting away from reliance on Russia, especially after 2014 with the annexation of Crimea and so on. And in the German situation, this is particularly politically volatile because the former Chancellor Schroeder, who again was a Social Democrat Party chancellor, as we've got now, after he, well, while he was chancellor, he signed this agreement basically to set up this Nord Stream, which would supply kind of even more gas from Russia. So now they've kind of put a halt to that. But he signed that agreement, and then after he left power, he went and kind of worked with Gazprom. So there's a lot of criticism politically that kind of Germany tied itself to Russia, and even kind of individuals in German politics made money out of this and kind of implicated themselves with Putin's regime. So that's the kind of past bit. So, you know, they should have kind of weaned themselves off more. In terms of kind of looking at the future, and this is where it's interesting, say, from a New Zealand perspective and climate change and so on, in some ways we might look at this positively, that any kind of move away from fossil fuels is a good thing, that this might accelerate moves towards alternative energy supplies. And that's also part of the European Union Green Deal, which is also part of the kind of recovery from COVID and so on. So if it feeds into that, that's good. But it does take time. So it would, in the interim, there would still be a major hit. And in that interim, they're even talking about kind of delaying the weaning off of coal-powered power stations, which, of course, is the worst emitter, I think, overall. So in the short term, it actually might have a bad impact on emissions, but in the longer term, would accelerate that move towards alternative energy.
Yeah.
But the impact on the kind of individual, and we're not just talking about Germany, as I say, this is across many countries in Europe, and as I said, particularly in the Balkans as well, that kind of reliance, the impact that this would have, especially just after COVID, and in fact going further back with the Eurozone crisis and so on, is, I mean, it's bad for people, and you know, we've got it in New Zealand, but they got it there, of course, record prices, and inflation and so on happening again. But also politically, the potential destabilizing effect politically. Now, I don't think that means that necessarily people are going to turn against this kind of strong line towards Russia. I think that's, although there may be people politically who might exploit that. So in places like Italy, Greece, and so on, you've got a kind of people on the kind of more radical left and on the far right who are kind of pro-Russia on this. So there is the risk that they might begin to kind of benefit from this, as they did actually previously with the Eurozone crisis.
That was James Hurdley from the University of Otago on the possibility of Russia cutting Germany's fuel supplies.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.